Well, I have just the distinct privilege. This has just been, I got to be a part of Destiny from the very beginning, even though I was a little kid. And getting to watch my dad even yesterday was just so incredible. And I just, I get the privilege of talking about marriage and family, something that's so dear to my heart. I know, every one of us is either a father, a mother, or a son or daughter, right? Every single one of us. So marriage and ministry and family has so an impact on all of our lives. And before I even can start, I just want to honor my father and mother. Wherever you're at, I just want to stand up real quick. This is Nelson and Pam Height. They're right here. And then my beautiful wife, Sheree, can you just stand with my oldest daughter, Avery? She's right over here. And then I have my brother and sister and his wife, Jessica, Aaron's wife, Jessica. Can y'all stand real quick? Come on, real fast, real fast. I'm not sure where Barbie's at. It's so good to have family, especially family in ministry. And again, and one more thing. Every time I get the opportunity to speak, and I've allowed this, Brother Phil, but it's the honor, Phil and Kathy Brassfield, just the mentorship that they pour in my life, the top three, my dad's included that, and then Phil, you're right there and mentored in my life, and we appreciate you and all that, and I know we all appreciate that for sure. I began to, I have been able to work with a lot of families over my short tenure of being able to work in ministry, and one of the things, growing up as a pastor's kid all my life, I always tell people I've been in ministry for 31 years. And I've been able to see a lot and be able to understand it's the best thing ever. Ministry and family together, there is nothing better. I believe there is nothing better than growing up as a pastor's kid, growing up in ministry, and then being able to serve people and serve. And when there's a thing that we talk about in our house, especially with my little girl. And even today, she was doing it on the way over here. I said, baby, guess where we get to go? She said, we get to go to church. And whose house is that? It's God's house. And what do we do at God's house? We help people. And what I wanted to always know that Daddy doesn't go to work. Daddy goes to God's house to help people. And that's what we're going to talk just for a few moments. We're going to talk about ministry and family. You know, one of the things that talking about that was that we need to balance. You hear this a lot. We need to balance ministry and family. But I don't really ever see anywhere in the scriptures, when especially talking about relationships, the word balance. I don't see that a lot. Yes, absolutely, we need to have time, and we're going to talk just for a few minutes about that. But one thing that I do see is a passage of Scripture, and you find it in 1 Timothy chapter 3. And I have this Bible with me. This is the Bible that I was given when I was ordained. It's not, and Brother Phil is there, and Brother Eddie, and my dad, and different ones, and this was that Bible. And I was just thinking through a passage of Scripture that Dr. Phil pretty much challenged me with and prayed over me. And I just want to share that for a few moments with you today. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, it says, so a church leader must be a man whose life is above reproach. He must be faithful to his wife, and he must exercise self-control, live wisely, and have a good reputation. This is Paul talking to Timothy about being a good church leader. And then skipping to verse 4, it says, he must manage his own family well, having children who respect and obey him. And for if a man cannot manage his own household, how can he take care of the church? How can he take care of God's church? That check that out again. He must manage his own family well and have children who respect and obey him. For if a man cannot manage his own household, how can he manage God's church? And that word manage there specifically means just to take care. To take care of protection. To put a lot of weight and care of protection over something. And so as we even go in as church leaders, and I know we're all experts here, and so we all know, we know these things. But I feel like sometimes with a lot of the stress and a lot of the pressure of building up the church and trying to find ourselves in ministry, that we also sometimes neglect our first calling of ministry, and that is our family. And that's what I'm sharing in this passage of Scripture. So what I want to share just for a few moments is this on this topic. As we manage our house, God will help us manage His house. As we manage our house, God will help us manage His house. You know, in Matthew chapter 28:19, it says, "Therefore, go and make disciples." Go and make disciples. And what better place to be able to do that is within the own people that we're right there with. The people that we spend the most time with, to be able, that's our first mission. That's the first mission that God has asked us to do, is to go and make disciples, and that is in our homes. That's in our homes. If 3 John chapter 4, verse 4, it says, "I could have no greater joy than to hear that my children are following the truth." To understand that our first mission as pastors, as our first mission as ministers of the gospel, DLI graduates, as you're going in and growing in your family, to understand that your first mission is not a ministry position. Your first hope is not just a full-time position. Your first mission is your family. Your first mission is to be able to see and to be able to look them in the eyes and to begin to pray and do devotions every single night. That we don't ask our people to do something that we're not doing. That we can continue to live and be the legacy that we want our children to be in their lives. And so ministry and family work so well together because that is our ministry, is our family. And so as we understand more about the bigger issue that we face even in society today, we see culture of where it's all full of selfishness and full of neglect. We see people being more selfish about the things that they want to do. And you see this all the time because you're pastoring over people. We're pastoring over churches. We have interaction with people, even some of our families sometimes. And we see them working and walking in these daily lives. And we try to talk to them about Ephesians. Listen, wives, submit to your husbands. And husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loves the church. We talk to them about children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And fathers, don't make your children angry. Don't be angry toward your children. We teach these things, and we walk through these things. Then 1 Timothy chapter 4, it says, Paul's talking to Timothy, and he says this. He says, "Timothy, don't let no one despise you for your young, but be an example to all believers." And I know, listen, some of us are old, some of us are young in here. But Paul, again, is talking to a church leader. And he's saying, listen, be an example to all believers. And I feel like in ministry, especially ministers of the gospel, we not just have the right, we have not just the opportunity, but we have the responsibility as ministers of the gospel, not to preach about family and how to work with family, but to live by example the way that we as families can follow Jesus Christ. And that we can spend time living out the Word and spend time in prayer with our families. As we become more like Christ, we become better fathers, we become better mothers, we become better husbands, and we become better wives. We find ourselves understanding the more that we see God's love for us, we understand how we can love others even more. There's a quote by Kara Powell. She's a great psychologist from Fuller Theological Seminary in Pasadena, California. And I am a big counseling psychology. Like I do like to watch a lot of stuff and read a lot of stuff. But she shares this quote, and I think it's just so important. And it says this. I just want to read it to you for a second. It says, "How you're loved will always impact how you live. But how you live will never change how you're loved." How you're loved will always impact how you live. But how you live will never change how you're loved. When I had my daughter, Avery, it was the first time me being a daddy. I remember the first night sitting there in the hospital. Nobody told me exactly what to do with a little human. I never changed a diaper before. It was crazy. And I sit there, I held her in my arms, she was asleep. And I began to think in my heart, there's nothing that I will not do for this little girl. There's nothing that I will protect her with everything I have. I remember writing a little self-note to myself that I still have. I'll do everything in my power to protect her. I'll do everything in my power to lead her. I'll do everything in my power to love her. I'll do everything in my power to help her take each step that she takes. And then I was reminded in John 3:16 of a Father that loved us so much. And y'all, I began to cry in that hospital room, because not only did He do everything to protect His Son, He decided that wasn't enough. And He wanted to sacrifice His Son just for us. And we know this. We all know this. And I think as parents and husbands and wives, our greatest job, our greatest mission is to be able to look each other in the eye, our children in the eye, our husbands and wives in the eye, and say, listen, it's not about my agenda. It's not about what I can be. I want to sacrificially show that I love you with everything. Just as my Father has loved me, I want to sacrificially show when I get upset in those moments. Listen, just on the way over here, we just had height family war zone. Like it never happened. Like I promise you, we have a lot of peace in our home. Thank you, Jesus. But it was like war zone. I think a couple of the leaders just saw us trying to get over here a while ago. And in those moments, we can say, God, I don't have the answers, but we know that You do. We know that You do. And because You gave Your heart to me, You gave Your Son to me, I want to give everything I have to You and give everything to my family and make sure that I know if I build up the family, God is going to build up His church. If I manage and care for my family, He's going to care for His church. He's going to care for your church. He's going to care for your people. He's going to be able to love on your people when you find yourself not being able to love them sometimes. Because they're going to see the sacrifice. And don't feel guilty. Don't feel guilty for being with your family. We're going to get to the how-tos later. But don't feel guilty about that. That is your mission. To love your wives. Love your husbands. And to love your kids with everything. Take a day. Take a day. It's okay. Take a day. The Bible says, listen, check this out. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 16, it says, on this rock I will build my church. He's not talking about Peter. He's talking about the knowledge of Jesus being the Son of God. And sometimes we feel like Peter sometimes. Now, I'm going to build my church. But it's God's church. He can build His church. And He wants us to build up the family. And to be able to build up the family so they can continue to carry on the legacy of Jesus Christ to others. In closing, I just want to share you this real fast and then pray over you guys. There's two words I think sometimes, and like I said, growing up in ministry is the best ever. I cannot, like just the other day, I got to do a little picnic on the platform with my daughter looking at balloons, cheese crackers and juice when we're getting prepped ready for Sunday morning, right? Like on Saturday night, we get to have a picnic. Like, who else gets to do that? I mean, nobody gets to do that, right? We get to do that. It's like pastor's kids. But a lot of times when we're walking in ministry and family, we're trying to juggle that. We think about two words. We just need to try harder. We need to grow our church and try harder. We need to maybe have a family situation and there's a decision that's made in your family and you don't know what to do. And you think, I just need to try harder. Well, those two words sometimes can be very deceitful because then you put everything on yourself. But maybe we need to substitute that with six words. God is bigger than any problem. If you're having communication issues with your wife and husband, y'all haven't talked, y'all haven't had date night in a month, God is bigger than any problem. If you don't know where your children are or what they're thinking right now, they're in high school and you're not sure what their relationship is in, God is bigger than any problem. Go to that. Listen, if you haven't worked on your time, we could talk about quantities of quality time. We could talk about not reacting but being intentional. We could talk about quick to listen and slow to speak. We could talk about be the person that you want your children to be. We could talk all about the hows. But listen, God is bigger than any situation and problem. And right now, I just want everyone to close their eyes for a second. And maybe you find yourself, wherever you're at in your family, wherever we're at in your church, you've got some stress, you've got some stuff going on. I want to read this closing prayer with you, this last minute of my time. And I want you to, this is in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. And if you need something in your family, I want you to just live out this passage of Scripture. I just want to pray this over you for a moment. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, for whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. I pray that He may grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with power in the inner man through His Spirit, and that the Messiah may dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray that you, being rooted and firmly established in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints that is the length, that is the width, that is the height, that is the depth of God's love. And to know the Messiah's love that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do above and beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be the glory in the church and Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you so much for your time. God bless.